Continuing our series and wrapping up our series here of the month of February of Kingdom Blessings. Kingdom Blessings. And I'm going to go to the Word of God. If you want to stand with me, we're going to look at the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I have the English Standard Version here with me, although I'll be referencing the King James as well some. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 9. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. My title this afternoon is When God Bakes You a Cake. When God Bakes You a Cake. You can be seated today. When God Bakes You a Cake. Now, this month we've been talking around the topic of kingdom blessings. And when I use that buzzword blessings, I think oftentimes our mind is drawn to immediately our finances or our home or our vehicle or some sort of monetary thing. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but we almost process that with our mind and our flesh first. And although that is surely part of the blessings of the Lord and things He can bless us with, kingdom blessings really are about valuing that which is eternal. We've been looking at Matthew 6, laying up treasures in heaven where thieves can't steal it, where moth can't eat it, where rust can't destroy it, versus laying up treasures on earth. And again, sometimes we read these scriptures because of the nature, maybe the metaphorical nature, it seems hard to grasp. If I were to say, lay up treasures in heaven, well, what does that mean? I can't reach heaven. But the truth is there are things given to us on this earth that we decide how we are going to utilize them. Money being one of those things. A way to translate this would be the way that I spend my money. Do I consider that which is eternal when I'm deciding my budget? Or do I invest just in those things which are temporary? Last week, my title was Despise the Other. If you weren't here, I encourage you to go watch that and glean some things from the scripture. Pulled that directly out of Matthew 6:24. Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. We see this contrast, mammon, the love of money, the love of riches. We understand that money in itself is not inherently evil, but yet the love of money is something that can so easily ensnare all of us. I said something last week, pretty strong, and I'll say it again today. Money is spiritual warfare. Money is spiritual. And if you ask a question, how do you know? Well, think about it. Has the fear of money, fear of your future, fear of your financial stability, has that ever put you in a place that has shaken your faith? Has your faith ever been tested by money? If the answer is yes, then we all can recognize, yeah, there have been times when my financial outlook has the ability to impact my relationship with God. There is a spiritual component that we cannot ignore. So what do we do? How do I make sure that I'm not enslaved by the love of money? How can I make sure that my posture is correct? How can I make sure that my spiritual perspective is right? Well, number one, give. Give to the kingdom of God. Why? Because that love of money, that fleshly desire, will never motivate you to give. Right? That's one way to bring our flesh into subjection and say, Lord, I commit to giving to your house. I commit to giving to your work. But number two, when you are blessed, when you do receive something financially, which God can bless you, and I believe he will, even financially, remember God. We read in Deuteronomy when Moses instructing the people how to think and how to live before they entered into the promised land. They had gone through a season of trial, but look what he says in Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. What's the purpose? He may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. I say again, money is spiritual. So a way that we are applying that, and we've discussed already in the announcements and discussion, is we are going to come together as a church body and we are going to give a one-time sacrificial offering next week. And this is going to be for missions purposes, and we have some ideas of some things we know that are designated. We're going to help missions efforts around the world. But guess what? There are some things I don't know exactly what we're going to use it for because it hasn't happened yet. But just in the way that we were able to step in and help Detroit Hope Center, I believe that when we give sacrificially, it will position us to be a blessing. And that way, when a need arises, and I hope that it does, we can step in and say, we have prepared for this, we are positioned for this, and God is going to bless you, and He just happens to be using us to do it. But that's a way that we have to posture our heart, because this is an offering that's not going to benefit what happens inside these four walls. This is an offering that goes out. It's going to go out around the world. It's going to go out locally. It's going to go out to people in our community. This is a sacrificial offering that is for other people. This is a way that we submit our will to the Lord. Submitting your money to God is a great way to submit your will to God. It's a good test. It's a way to embrace a life of sacrifice. And I hope that you've been praying about this, and if you haven't, I hope that we will pray about this. And if you've never been involved in something like this, I want to encourage you. It's incredible to see what God does when we decide to adapt and adopt a mindset and a posture of sacrifice unto His kingdom. As you pray about this, as you think about this, there will undoubtedly be a question that pops up in your mind as you consider. Why? Because this is a question that always pops up into my mind anytime I even consider giving an offering, especially that's a larger or sum that I'm considering or praying about. And this is the question. What if I really need this money? What if this specific amount of money I need, because what if something happens? What if something happens to me and I need all of that? What if something happens with my job? What if something happens with the future? What if this? What if that? And it's a question you can fill in the blank for yourself, but it's this question of what if, or another way to ask this question, it's a question of sufficiency. If I do give, if I do sacrifice in my life, is what I have gonna be sufficient? That's a question that we all ask in our life. Is what I have going to be sufficient? And let me just pause for a moment and put a statement in here. The point of this month, the point of this message is not for me to guilt trip you into giving. That's not why we're doing this. The point is not to make you feel bad if you don't give X amount of money right now. This is not me standing here as your pastor saying, I command you to give. I'm not saying what amount you should give. I'm not saying you should not be a good steward of your money. Listen, don't take out a loan to give in the offering. Don't put a bunch of money on a credit card just to give in the offering. Okay, I'm not saying any of those things. But what I am saying is there are some principles in the Word of God that if you follow them will help you be more like Christ and will end up in blessings in your life. So, in a moment like this, you may ask the question, okay, you're talking about sacrificial offering. Well, what do I give? How much am I supposed to give? I'm glad you asked, because I can answer this. Actually, we see it in a few verses before our key text, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's look at verse 6. The point is this, and he was talking about an offering that they were actually going to give. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So what should I give to the Lord? I'll tell you, bountifully. How should I approach the perspective of giving? Bountifully. That is a principle that we see in the Word of God. There's not an exact amount that I'm going to read to you today, because that will look different for different people. It's a principle of sparingly and bountifully. Will you sow sparingly or bountifully? Now, again, I said I'm not going to guilt trip you. Look at verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, this is about our motive, our heart, right? I'm not looking at what every person gives in the offering, and no, we're saying, what is the intention of your heart? Now, I've heard it said, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. So if you want to give to the Lord in any state of mind, we will receive it. But it's not about compulsion, okay? I need us to understand this. This is not guilt trip giving. This is principle understanding giving. My point today is not to browbeat anyone to say, you must give X amount. No, my hope is that I can show you some principles in the Word of God that have been established for us, for our benefit, to say, you know what? This is an issue of our heart. It's an issue of our soul. It's not just an issue of our actions. It's an inward spiritual condition of our heart that will manifest itself in many different ways, including what we do with our money. Why? Because money is spiritual. It's a part of our walk with God. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's a God principle that should guide our lives. But again, back to that question, that what-if question, that question of sufficiency, that question of, man, am I going to have enough? Well, and really, it's a question of trust. But look at what verse 8 says. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. I think that pretty much covers it. Is it going to be sufficient? God can provide all sufficiency. Well, what about in the future? At all times. Well, what about this specific situation? In all things. What I'm trying to say today is, if we're not careful, we will look to money for our anchor in our life and our sufficiency. Yes, you money is a part of your life. I'm not saying be unwise, but just follow this train of thought. If I look to money for my sufficiency, then I'll start to put all my trust in money. If I start to put all my trust in money and I have to hold to one and despise the other, then all of a sudden I'm turning my attention away from the Lord and I'm turning it towards money. If all my trust and all my hope is in money, where do you think I'm going to put my treasure? I'm going to put my treasure in my money. All of a sudden, I have now created an idol out of my money, and I'm turning my back on the Lord, and I am now worshiping money. So what do we do? What's the answer? It's to take a step back and say, yes, I need to provide. There are things that I need. But at the end of the day, God, it is from you and you alone. You are enough for me, oh Lord. I don't want to fall into the trap of saying God has to do it this way. God has to do it that way. No, it's saying, Lord, I trust you. Even when I don't understand, I can still trust you. Why? Because everything I need can come from you. Why? God is going to give you all sufficiency in all things, at all times. There's not a situation that you can come up with that God cannot cover. There's not a mountain that you can look at that God cannot see a way over. Why? Because he can do it in all things. What about my future? He can do it in all times. What about what's happening now? He can give you all sufficiency. That's the kind of God that we serve. So today I'm saying put your trust in him. I'm saying put your faith in him. I'm saying put your hope in him. I'm saying trust your future to God. God is our sufficiency. Thank you, Lord. If we begin to put our hope and trust in anything else, it becomes an idol. Trust in the Lord. Now, I've been using the word sow and give interchangeably, and I'm going to address that because there's some amazing biblical, God-glorifying, life-shaping principles in this as well. And I'm sure you've heard some of these principles about this concept of sowing, but I want to refresh a couple of these things. Number one, you will reap what you sow. We understand this in the natural. No one goes and plants corn and says, I cannot wait to have some good apples from these trees. You wouldn't do that. But yet, why do we sometimes expect for something else to be brought forth out of a relationship when we haven't sown the right things into it? My children, I want to have a good relationship with my children. I want to raise them the right way. Well, what am I doing? Well, I want to sow the right things into them. If I want to reap those same things, I need to sow the right things. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatever you reap, you will sow. Or whatever you sow, you will reap. You need to understand that. Number two, you reap after you sow. Now, we may not like this one sometimes. And again, I talked about last week an improper perspective that a love of money will give you. We'll say things like this. Well, when God makes me rich, I am going to just bless everybody. I'm just going to walk up to someone and pay off their home. You know, we have these ideas of grandeur. But the perspective is, when God does this, then we're getting it backwards. When I can reap a harvest, then I'm going to go sow. It's not the way it works. There is a God-ordained order to everything. This is a false thinking structure. Look at even Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. There is an order. There is a natural order. There is an order that God has even shown us through nature. Why do we think that we should try to step outside of that? If you want to reap, you have to sow. But that leads me to the third principle that I love most of all, is that you will reap more than you sow. Whatever you reap, you will reap, whatever you sow, you will reap more than that. If you take a couple of kernels of corn, they will produce a stalk that has several ears on it. Each ear can contain up to 400 kernels. So there is a, not just more, but there is a multiplication principle that we have to understand. So if you can just make the commitment that, Lord, I am going to sow some things, you can expect, because God is a principled God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot change. So if you sow, not only will you reap what you sow, but you will reap more than you sow. So let me just encourage somebody, because sometimes when we go through things in our life, when you go through hardships, when you go through valleys, our knee-jerk reaction is to stop sowing. And we just want to say, let me just wait for a moment, and when things get better, then I'll invest. But let me just read something that I want to encourage you with. In Psalms 126 and 5, it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You need to understand something. You may be going through a tearful season right now, but don't stop sowing. You may be struggling right now, but don't stop sowing. Now is not the time to stop what you're doing. No, you need to sow. Guess what? If you're crying in your life, if you have fear, sow afraid. If you're going through something difficult, sow in tears. If you have to sow through fear, sow through fear. If you've got doubt, sow in doubt. If you're afraid, sow afraid. Why? Because you will reap in joy. The next verse, it says, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, this is not a question, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing what? Not his seed, his sheaves. You got to understand that, Lord, I may be weeping, I may be going through something, but I'm still going to sow, because there's a season. It says doubtless. This is not a question. This is not a what if scenario. There is a promise from the Lord that if you sow even in a season of weeping, you will come forth rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Oh, I wish you could just see with me for a moment, where you could just open your spiritual eyes and see into the future and see a season that God has for you, where you're rejoicing, where you have sheaves. I know all you see right now is a few seeds, but you may be crying, but sow anyways. Oh, I'm asking that you would trust in God enough to sow into the things of this kingdom, and that way you will reap a benefit that you cannot understand. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you keep your promises. These are principles. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is a law from the Lord, a principle that he does time and time and time again. Now I want to read our key text, all of the verses. I want to put them together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse starting at verse 6. Let's read this again. The point of it is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way. Why? Is the goal of this that we come back next year and we all say, yay, look, God has blessed us. We did what you said, Pastor, and now look how blessed and how wealthy we are. No. What is this? He says, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Let me just break it down for you. What we say is, God, in this season, even if it's difficult, I'm going to sow, because one day I'm going to be in a different season and I'm going to reap more than I have sown. Why do I reap so much more? Not to just hoard it, not to collect it. Why? So that I can go back once again and I can sow again. I can sow back into your kingdom. Why? So that another day I can come back and reap the benefits benefit. I'm saying this is a principle. It's a non-stop cycle that God has ordained for you to be blessed and for you to be a blessing. You will be enriched in every way to be generous. That's what the command of God is. That's why. Why are we blessed? To be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. As I mentioned earlier, I'm using give and sow interchangeably. And I'm telling you, you have to have enough faith to sow. This verse says he provides seed to the sower and bread for food. I want you to just think with me for a moment. When you have seed, you have options. You have a choice to make. We have a seed, and if you have a bundle of seeds in your life, as we've read, you can sow it. But to sow, you have to release it. You have to release control. You have to trust in a process. You have to trust in a timeline. You have to trust something that's kind of outside of your hands. But the other option, the one that you are faced, the temptation that you face today, that we all face when we have seed, when we have things in our life given by God for a purpose to sow, because what else can you do with seed? You can plant it, but you can also grind it. You can also process it. I can turn that seed into flour. I can turn that flour into a cake. If you're wondering, this is a real cake. This is not a prop cake. Oh, what do I have there? Just have my little pocket fork. Anybody else have your suit pocket fork? That's a normal thing. Oh, Pastor John. Hey, no. A suit pocket fork? I mean, it's just a normal. I wasn't prepared at all. Just. But this is what we've been preaching about all this month. The power of sowing into the kingdom of God. The truth of returning our tithes to him while allowing him to direct all things. Giving offerings. Giving to help special causes. To bless the kingdom. But as I said, there's something that stands in opposition to that. It can be the love of money, right? That spirit of mammon that wants to grip onto our heart and say, no, this is, I should keep this. This is for me. Or the fear of insufficiency. What if I don't have enough? And it can cause us to hoard this and this fear. But again, you can sow, but you can also process this seed and grind it into flour and to make a meal for yourself. But again, what I need you to understand is that this cake represents me saying, you know what? I've got some things, but I have some needs right now. So I'm going to grind this seed. I'm going to turn it into flour. And yes, I have a cake that has been produced. And just to prove, I think I felt some doubt in the room. Oh, there is a lot of whipped cream all around that cake. That is incredible. I didn't get to the cake. That was just like I just got the outside. So I think for the purpose of this illustration, I need to get a little bit more. Let's just take a moment and pray, church. Just thank the Lord. This is really good. And because it's a sermon prop, the church paid for it. So, I mean, isn't that incredible? I really think you need to understand this, what I'm talking about today. So just, that's really good. I think I'm going to use food props more. This is like a great mid-sermon pick-me-up. I'm debating the strawberries, but that would take like 3 minutes, and it's like a whole thing, so I think I'm going to leave that alone for now. But I want you to understand something. For me to take this seed of the situation that I have, there is a route that I can take matters in my own hands. But for me to process that seed, for me to grind it into flour, I destroy its ability to be sown. I destroy the potential future that seed holds for my own determination. And so it comes down to this point of you have in your life, and again, this is, although we're talking about finances, let me just step outside of that because this is a principle-based understanding. There are situations in your life that you have a choice to make. You can either take matters into your own hands and make do with what you can. But you can understand this. If I were to take this cake home as my only means, my all-sufficient cake, if I were to view it that way, this is what my trust is in, this could last for maybe a day, maybe 2 days, maybe 3 days. I could probably ration it out. But at some point, you would recognize this cake is not enough to sustain me. Right? This cake. So again, in this moment, I have either to trust God or I can take matters in my own hand. But trusting God, again, is surrendering something that I don't understand. Now, I want to just read something for you to really tie in the point of my message, my title today. In the book of 1 Kings, we see a man of God, Elijah. He wins a battle against the prophets, these ungodly prophets, and he slays them all. And the queen hears about this, Queen Jezebel, and she's very angry at Elijah. And you can see her response in 1 Kings 19. The king tells the queen everything that Elijah has done, how he had killed all the prophets. Then she sends a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." She says, listen, you know what? Let me be cursed. If I don't kill you by this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead. One of the most powerful people in the world says that to Elijah. And verse 3, then he was afraid and he arose and ran for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." In this moment, an angel comes to him. Verse 5, he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Now, I know I've jumped into this story very quickly, but he has gone from a mountaintop experience where God shows up, provides, does all the things, and now, very quickly, he is now on the run for his life, and he finds himself in the wilderness. There is nobody else. He is completely alone and isolated, and he's got to the point now where, yes, what happened yesterday was great, but now he's in a position where he says, "God, I might as well die." He's at the lowest point of his life. He's at the lowest moment that he can imagine, and in this moment, let me just give you the end of the chapter. The end of the chapter, you can read it, and you will recognize the story. When God brings him, and God, there's many different things that transpire in this mighty wind, but it says God is in just a voice. Where the end of this chapter is God giving Elijah direction and future and promise and all that stuff, which is great. But sometimes when you hear preaching, sometimes myself, when I preach or when preachers speak about the future, sometimes it's, well, God's going to take care of it and God's going to fix it and God's going to do these things. But sometimes the question is, well, what about right now? That's great. That's great that somewhere down the road, it's going to pan out. But right now, Elijah says, you know what? That's great. I know I'm a prophet, all this stuff, but right now, I don't see a way out. And what's amazing in this moment is the angel doesn't say, "Arise, you're going to go do this, this." No, he says, "Arise and eat." There's a right now need that God is aware of and is there to meet. Verse 6, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones in a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. Now, this is both comical and sad to me. Number one, it's kind of funny to think about. Angel wakes you up, taps you on the shoulder. There's a cake that magically appears. You eat it, and then you decide, "I'm going back to sleep." Like, you know what? That was great. We'll go back to sleep. Kind of funny. But also, I think it just shows the depth of despair that he was in at this moment. Even when God showed up, even when God provided, he, at the end of that meal, he said, "Okay, why?" Because in his mind, he knows something. Just like this cake, okay, that's great, but I'm in the wilderness. I'm just going to be hungry tomorrow. I'm going to struggle again. So what does he do? He goes back to sleep. That's what we do sometimes. Well, thank you, but this doesn't fix everything else. But look at this. This is what's so amazing to me. In this instance, we see something amazing. Verse 8, and he arose and ate and drank, but look at this, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights. Now, here's what I need you to understand. That Elijah, I think maybe he saw this. The angel prepared the food. He said, "Thank you so much," and he ate it. He didn't really realize what he was eating. Because in his mind, all he sees is, this is a momentary fix for a problem that I have. And yes, when you take matters into your own hand, that seed that God is calling you to sow in your life, maybe it's financial, maybe it's relational, whatever it is, and we can grind it up into flour, and we can make a cake, and we can eat just for a moment, but we know that that's got an end date. But what I'm trying to tell you today is that if you will trust in God, not only will He take care of your future, but also He can make a cake for you that you could never make on your own. There is no cake that I can make that will fill your belly for 40 days and 40 nights. But when God steps in, He can provide for you something that you could never create. He stepped down to Elijah and says, for the next 40 days and 40 nights, you're not going to be hungry because I can provide for you. I personally believe that this is a foreshadowing to John chapter 4 when Jesus looks at a woman at a well and she says, I'm thirsty. And He says unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What I'm trying to preach today to somebody is when God takes care of your needs, He goes beyond what you can imagine. He does more than you can do, but you got to trust Him enough. But when God bakes you a cake, it's not a normal supply. It's not a normal thing. It's not something you can do. I can't save enough money to make my life perfect. I can't do enough things to make it all work out. But if I'll sow it into the kingdom, if I'll trust in God, God can say, I'm going to give you a cake that'll supply more than your need. You've never seen a cake like this. You've never seen a situation work out like this. There are people here that should not still be married, but God has stepped in and said, I can do what you cannot do. There are people that were strung out on drugs, but they're here today. Why? Because God supplies more than they can imagine. That's the God I'm preaching about today. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you stand with me today? Can you stand with me today and just begin to speak out in faith? I know that there's some things you don't know the answer to yet. I know you're asking God for answers, but let me just tell you, sow into the kingdom. Don't be so stingy with our mindset that we say, no, I'm going to grind this up and take matters in my own hands. No, sow. Why? Because when God bakes a cake for you, He can supply more than you can imagine. Today, I want to speak to somebody. I hope that I've stirred your faith. I hope that I've shown you in the Word of God some things that God can do. There are principles. I don't mean this disrespectfully to the Lord, but there are principles that God has bound Himself to. He is bound to His Word. He said, I will do this. So let me just speak to somebody today, because you have what looks like just a few seeds. And maybe at one time, you could open the proverbial door of your life and see a full harvest and see all these things. And that's what it used to look like. And maybe now, it doesn't look like that. Now, it's just a handful of seeds. You know, a few chapters earlier in 1 Kings, God sends Elijah to Zarephath. There's a woman there. They had nothing left, her and her son. And He comes to her and He says, what are you doing? She says, I'm gathering a few sticks and I'm just going to make a cake and then me and my son are going to die. This is it. And Elijah said to her, make me a cake first. Talk about sacrifice. Make me a cake first. And because she did that, God provided in a way that is not humanly possible. It doesn't work like that. It's not the way things go. In fact, you can see in 1 Kings 17, make me a cake first. Verse 14 of 1 Kings 17, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth. I could say, I could have retitled this message, God's Jar of Flour, God's Jug of Oil. Or I could retitle it, The Broken Thing in Your Life Right Now. I know that it may seem like, and again, let me just step out of, I know we're talking about finances, and that's a part of it, but this is a principle. Let me just zoom out.
I know there are people, you feel like you've got seeds, just a few seeds, that's it. And you're like, what good is this? And so the answer, because it's the same question I ask, is, you know what, I can just make do. I'm just going to make do. It's flour, make a cake, that's it. But I'm asking you, could you have enough faith today to look at those few seeds and say, God, this doesn't make sense, but I'm going to sow. Next week, we're going to do that financially. We're going to trust God, and we're going to sow some seeds because I believe God's going to reap a harvest bigger than we can see. But this is not just about your finances. I want to speak to somebody today. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your future. I'm talking about things that you don't feel like you know how they're going to work out. But if I can stand like Elijah did to that widow in Zarephath, or if I can have the same understanding that Elijah had when he woke up, the angel said, eat. And again, what I want to read about this, 1 Kings 19, verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. Look at this. For the journey is too great for you. This may sound like an odd thing to hear a preacher say, but guess what? That situation that you're facing, it's too much for you. No, if you're asking the question, can I do this? Am I going to be able, do I have the strength? The answer is no. It's too much for you to handle. It's too much for me to handle. That's what the angel said. He said, arise and eat. The journey is too great for you. But what Elijah didn't know is that he was about to eat a 40-day cake. He didn't know that. So what I'm telling you is, yes, in your own strength, the way we would make things, the way we would, it's too much. You can't handle it. You can't answer it. You don't know all the answers unless God bakes a cake for you, unless God provides. And I know that there are situations. I've sat across tables from you. I've sat in my office with you. I've spoken on the phone with you. I don't know all of them, but I know many of them. I know that you're facing things where I hang up the phone and I say, I don't have the right answer. But today I say, those few seeds, sow them. Don't destroy them. Don't destroy them and take matters into your own hands. So we're going to do that today. We're going to take a step of faith. And I want you to begin to sow some seeds into some things that may seem like there's just a tiny bit left. But you know what? If it's through tears, sow in tears. If it's through doubt and fear and worry, sow in doubt. Sow in fear. Sow in concern. Why? Because you can reap in joy. You can reap in joy. You can reap in a season that you can't see yet. Psalms 126, again, I want to read this. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless, there's not a doubt in my mind, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So today, I want to open this altar, and I'm asking right now, as a step of faith, would you come down and begin to sow some seeds? I'm asking for people, every single person, we've got seeds in our life, things that we face with the question, God, am I going to trust you? Am I going to take matters into my own hands? So I'm asking right now, would you come down as a church family? Would you come down and would you begin to sow some things? I promise you, if you'll trust God with it, he can do more than you could ever do. I don't want to isolate or ostracize anyone, but I believe there are some people right now, you are facing what looks like an urgent situation. And the answer is not to take matters in your own hands, because like a cake I can buy from the store, it's only good for a day or two. But if God steps in, he can do things you could never imagine. When God steps in and provides, he can provide in a way you could never see coming. So I'm just telling somebody today, have enough faith to sow that seed. Don't crush it up and make it for yourself. No, sow it into the kingdom of God. And I want to pray over you right now, Lord. Every person, if they're sowing in tears right now, I pray they would keep sowing. If they have fear or doubt or worry or concern, or they don't know what's going to happen, Lord, I pray they would still sow.
God, even if it seems unclear, I pray they would sow. Even if they don't know the answer, I pray they would sow. Because I know, God, that there is a season right now, but your season, just as it has a beginning date, the season you're going through has an expiration date. And one day you'll be in a new season. And one day you will see joy again. And one day you will have hope again. It may not feel like it today, but so anyways. Oh yes, can we pray all across this place? Can we begin to seek God? Seek after him. Lord, I'm gonna sow. I'm gonna sow in fear. I'm gonna sow even when I doubt. I'm gonna sow even through my tears, because God, you can do a work that I cannot do. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Yes, God, we trust you. We trust you, oh Lord. We sow, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.